Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Show yourself blameless. With the purified you deal purely, and with the crooked you make yourself seem torturous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please read with me this morning our catechetical review, Table of Duties. To employers and supervisors, masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9. To youth, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. Our epistle for this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 through 13. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to drink, to eat and drink, and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he can stand take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel for the ninth Sunday of Trinity from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And he said to the other, 'And how much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings.' This is the gospel of our Lord. We make the bold confession of our Christian faith in the Nicene Creed, found in the back of your hymnal. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered. He rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen." Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to please come forward. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to start a sentence and I want you guys to finish it, okay? God is
strong.
God is strong. That's right. God is strong and he can do anything with his strength. There's no one stronger. Let's try again. God is
in control.
God is in control. Isn't that interesting that you say that? Are you in control?
Nope.
Am I in control?
Nope.
But God is. And everything that happens in the world, God is in control of. That's good. Let's try again. God is
strong.
Well, you said that already. God is God is smart. That's right. He put you together and you, he put us all together and he made us. And he put all of these parts of our body together so that they continue to work together. God is smart. God is
glory.
God is glory. Well, I'm not quite sure how to talk about that. God is the one who receives glory from his creation as we pray him. Look over my shoulder back here at the cross. God is, what do you see on the cross? What did Jesus do for us? Right. Does God love us? Because without Jesus on the cross, what would happen to us? Mm-hmm. We'd have no way that we'd be able to approach a holy and a righteous God, would we? We couldn't stand before God. All we could do was fear that he would send us to hell. God is loving. How many times does God forgive you? Does he forgive you three times? He forgives us when we ask for forgiveness. That's right. God is patient, because you would think after you asked a whole bunch of times, he would just say, that's it, I'm done. But he doesn't do that, does he? He always forgives us. God is loving. God is patient. There's one more word. God is faithful. Do you know what faithful means? What's it mean? Well, there's a difference between having faith and God being faithful, but you're on the right track. God being faithful is he keeps his promises. Everything that God said he's going to do, he's going to do. And he never changes his mind because he's the one in control. So what has God promised to do? Has God promised to forgive you?
Yes.
Has God promised to watch over you every day of your life? Has God promised to provide everything that you need? Has God promised to love you? Has God promised that one day he's going to take you home to be with him? You see, God keeps all those promises because God is... Well, we did that one already. What's the last one? God is faithful. Let's say it together. God is faithful. One more time. God is faithful. Now let's ask them to say it with us. God is faithful. And one more time so they don't forget. God is faithful. All right, very good. Well, let's pray to our faithful God. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for keeping your promises and loving us. And forgiving us. In your name, amen. All right, thank you guys for coming up here today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you again that you are faithful. We thank you that through all of our life, dear Father, you work all things so that we might see you and rest in your gifts. Bless us now in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It was quite a number of years ago now I was introduced to one of our shut-ins at Divine Shepherd. He was quite elderly. He was in the nursing home, and I went to visit him. And we had a pretty good relationship, but this guy loved to joke. So I'd go to see him in the nursing home, and he'd see me walking down the hall, and then he'd play possum. He'd lay in his bed like he was sleeping, and he'd even snore. And I knew what he was doing, and I'd try to wake him, and he wouldn't wake. And then finally I would just say, well, I gotta go, and I'd turn around and go to the door, and he'd say, hey, Pastor, stay, let's talk. And he loved to talk. He loved to reminisce. He would take me back to a different chapter of his life every single time I was there. And he would tell me the greatest stories you've ever heard. And I think some of them probably were stories. But as we would do that, as we would visit about his past and all the things that he had done, usually along in those stories somewhere, I would say, do you see how faithful God has been to you? And he would shake his head. You see, he couldn't always see it at the time. He couldn't always see it when the stories didn't work out. He couldn't always see it when the pain in his life in that chapter was great. But now, looking back, he could see clearly that God had been faithful to him when he was being blessed, and God was faithful to him when he was struggling with something. Because God is faithful, always faithful. The Old Testament reading for today is something like that. It's a snippet, just a short snippet out of King David's life. David is an old man now. In fact, the very next chapter of 2 Samuel are the last words recorded by King David. He isn't going out to battle anymore. He's staying in the kingdom. But God is faithful, and he's continually faithful to King David. David, as just one, at least David's men, has won a great victory for the kingdom. There were four large enemies that were pushing against Israel, and Israel had won over them. Four very large giants, four Philistines. And David and his people had won because God is faithful. These giants, one of them had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. And David had a history with one of these men. It was years ago when David killed his brother. You might know that story of David and Goliath. These men, these enemies of David, had been killed. God had rescued Israel from Saul. David had continued to reign in his throne. And now the time for David to go to his father coming upon him. God is faithful. And in the midst of that, David writes this deliverance song that we have just a few verses of today. Listen to David as he gives thanks to God for deliverance and for God being faithful. David writes this: "With the merciful you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you deal purely." You see, David can look back in his own life and he can see how God has been faithful to him. He can look back and see that God forgiven him after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. God is merciful. He can look back and see how God protected David when his own son lied about David and tried to steal the kingdom from him. He can look back and see how God had rescued Israel from their enemies time and time and time again. Because God is. And David could look back in the great times and in the times of great pain, and he could see that God was there and that God was faithful. But then there's this next line in what David writes. What about this line? "And with the crooked you make yourself seem torturous." And then the line a couple lines later that says, "But your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down." Is that a faithful God? A God that would be torturous? A God that would look at the haughty to break them down? A few weeks ago, I had a conversation with a young man who was, he had a tortured conscience, you might say. He was struggling with his relationship with God. It seems that God was demanding something of him that was unacceptable to him. He knew what he was doing was wrong. He knew clearly what God said about that. And because his troubled conscience continued to push him, he was looking for a different church. He was looking for a church that would tell him what he was doing was okay. Now, in all reality, he wasn't looking very hard. Because he knew, even if he would find a church that would say, "That's not really anything we're concerned about," he still knew what God's word said. His troubled conscience was causing him to run away from the promises of God, to run away from the gifts. He was actively doing these things, and he knew what God said, and he could not get away from it. He was hoping his conscience would leave him alone if he would just leave the church alone. But that didn't work either. As we talked, it was clear his conscience was being tortured by the law of God. You see, you can run from God. You can choose to hide from his gifts. You can stick your head in the sand and hope it all goes away. You can even justify your sinful behavior by saying, "It makes me so happy." But you can't run from your death. You can't run from God's judgment. That's what's waiting for you. And as we heard, God is the only one in control. You don't have any control over those things. You can run from God, but you can't hide. You can run in your own selfishness, but your conscience will continue to bother you. because our Lord troubles consciences. And he does that for a good reason. This is why God seeks to break us with his perfect law. When we become haughty and proud, when we get stuck believing that my happiness or my laziness is more important than anything that God can give me, he troubles our consciences. It's his Holy Spirit working in your lives so that you hear his word, so that you will repent, so that you will receive his grace and his mercy. This is the very reason why when King David thought he had everything under control and he had an adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, she conceived, he killed Bathsheba's husband and had it all devised and all planned and executed her own husband so that he could cover it up. This is why God sent Nathan, the prophet, to stand before David, taking his bony finger and poking it right in his chest, standing nose to nose with him and saying, David, you're the man. You see, God was troubling his conscience because David needed to repent. A troubled and a tortured conscience is a signal that God loves you. It doesn't seem like it. It seems like God is out to get me, or he doesn't want me to have any fun, or he hates me. But it's just the opposite, really. A troubled conscience is God's Holy Spirit working on you to bring you to repentance so that you can live in his gifts and in his peace and in his mercy. David's a perfect example of that. Broken by his own sin, he wrote Psalm 51. Listen to the beginning verses. Listen to David's troubled conscience. For I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me against you. You only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Now here David, after he confesses his sin, after he hears God's word of forgiveness upon him, listen to how David writes the end of the psalm. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth might declare your praise. I will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Right there in Psalm 51, you can see David looking back at his life and seeing that God is faithful. God is faithful always. He keeps his promises. I know that as we look back, sometimes it might be hard to see. But like King David, when we can look back and reminisce and look at all of our life, it's clear that God is being faithful to you. Faithful by taking away your sins, faithful by easing your troubled conscience, and he's even faithful by torturing your conscience so that you will see your sin and repent and live in his forgiveness. God is faithfully forgiving every time we are less than faithful. And he does that all through Christ on the cross. And if now for some reason your conscience is still being tortured by the Holy Spirit, know that God loves you. And he's doing that for a very good reason. To bring you back out of your darkness, out of your sin, out of your death, so that you might live in his peace. So that you might know your forgiveness. So that you might not have to worry about that judgment that comes, because through baptism, connecting you to Christ, you have been judged righteous because Christ has stood in your place. When King David looked back, he could see clearly his faults. But he could see even more clearly that God is always. Even when David wasn't, even when Israel wasn't, even when we aren't, God is faithful. In the third article of the Apostles' Creed, Luke writes that the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens. And in that calling is God's grace and mercy. And in that calling is sometimes a tortured conscience. But in that calling is God bringing you to him for your forgiveness so that you might rest in his peace. David writes this at the end of this short section that we have today. This God is my strong refuge, my way blameless. We can say the same. This God, cross for you, for me, for all of us, the one that took away our damnation and paid the price for our death, this God, this Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, is my strong refuge, and he has made my way blameless. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard you and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.